Today's message is entitled No Other Gods, and there's just not a better way to lead into that than some of the choruses we just sang, that we're talking about bowing to no other God, there's no other God before you. So we're going to be in the Old Testament book this morning of Exodus, and we're going to be in chapter 20. Now, I need you to go ahead and get your Bible, but as you are doing that, let me just share a couple of things with you. That God, in His wisdom, chose to reveal Himself in a couple of ways. There is what is called general revelation. General revelation refers to the earth, the skies, and all of creation. Then there is what is called specific revelation. And specific revelation has to do with God's Word. And so what we are seeing, where we're going to start this morning, is in specific revelation involving His Word. In the province of time, God came down and wanted to adopt a group of people to be His people, and these would be the Jews. He had to start that nation, and He did that in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, and then in early Exodus. He appeared to one man. The man's name was Moses. And Moses saw a bush burning, and he was so fascinated by that, this is in Exodus chapter 1, that he and chapter 2, he went up and looked at that bush. Now, interestingly enough, the bush was not consumed by fire, and it should have been. And he heard a voice from that bush, and God was revealing Himself to Moses. I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to take my people from there and go to a promised land. And Moses was just overwhelmed. Me? How can I do this? Who do I tell them sent me? And the bush says, I am. And we have in that chapter just an amazing revelation of God's name. I am. And so Moses went through a couple of trying times there for the chapter and signs. And how are they ever going to believe me? But he finally went. He went to Egypt. He appeared before Pharaoh and said, the God who sent me says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, you've got to be nuts. I'm not letting them go. They're building all my cities. They're doing all these things? No way. And he said, God's power is going to be demonstrated. And then we have the example of how many plagues? 10 plagues hit Egypt. And it's interesting, if you were an Israelite at that point, you're saying, well, there's a God that cares about us, but and we're seeing His power demonstrated, but we don't know anything about this God. After a period of time with the last plague, Pharaoh says, go. And he takes a group of people. And they start heading into the desert, but they see signs of this God. They see a pillar of fire. They see manna in the morning and meat and bread being delivered to them. They still don't know that much about this God, though. They travel around in the desert and they come back to that mountain. And God says, come up to the top of the mountain and I'm going to give you my words for all people. And so that's where our story begins. Think about it. We have the Bible. If you've been able to read or have some familiarity with it, you understand some about God. They didn't. All they saw were these signs and wonders and amazing things. And they doubted that even when they had those things. They were not sure who He was. And so, God said, I'm going to give you some instructions. And he did. Open your Bibles with me then to Exodus, and we're going to be in chapter 20. And what we're going to do is I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to talk about this. But realize, you know a whole lot more about the Egyptians in your life. I'm sorry, more about than the Israelites knew. They didn't know anything. They had no written word, nothing. They just had some of these signs. And so, as we get to Exodus chapter 20, says this, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then beginning in verse 3 all the way through verse 17, we have what are called the Ten Commandments. First one says this, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, Moses has gone up. He has received these commandments. He actually had to make a second trip. But he received these commandments, and he reads this first one, "You shall have no other gods before me." And what we are doing today is we're looking at the foundation for honoring God in your life and in my life. It involves, first and foremost, having no other gods before Him. Now, as I said in my prayer, I think it's pretty easy that probably the majority of us do not go home and worship some kind of an idol set up in your house. Hopefully not. We're going to talk about, there is one of the commandments dealing with that specifically. But most of us don't. But what I'd like to suggest this morning, there are many other subtle ways that we worship things. And we put things that we want to have happen before God. And so this morning, we're going to talk about some of those things. Now, with the idea of the foundation for honoring God, this verse 3 prohibits polytheism. That means the worship of more than one God. We have one God, three co-equal and co-eternal persons. And I talked about this a lot as we came through last fall. It prohibits idolatry and idol worship, and it commands the respect and love and worship of God. That's what it's talking about. You shall have no other gods before me. And we say, good, got that one taken care of, because I don't go home and have something that I bow down to. And there are many people that live around the world that do. They worship pieces of wood and stone and any other thing, and they bow down to it. I'm guessing nobody in this room does that, but maybe this morning there's more subtle forms of doing this. Okay, so here we have, on your outline, the principle. The principle, then, is simply put God first. Put God first. Keep Him in that place. What does it mean? It means in your life, in your career, in your activities, that there is God entering into those choices and those decisions. You put Him first. What does He say? What does He want? What is important to Him? God desires to be first in our lives. This is amazing. The God who created everything, He desires to be first in your life and in my life. There's no doubt about it. There's no second guessing. I want to be first, God says. Put me first in your life. Follow me. All right, but then on your outline, second thing is, well, how to put God first? Well, how do you do that? And what are some of the things that we may struggle with today that don't that keep us from putting God first? All right, so look on your outline now. And before you bring up anything, Susan, see down the side there, I've got five blanks. And we're going to look at first. F-I-R-S-T. I'm going to choose and take five areas. That what we're going to do for the next 20 minutes is just evaluate these areas in our lives. Are we putting God first, or are we not? Ready? Let's begin. How about F? Where do you think I'm going here? Finances. Oh, yeah, what a good way to start the new year. Amen? Oh, listen to that. That was pathetic. Finances. Money. All of those things. Now, I've got an Old Testament reference here and a New Testament reference. And the first one under finances is Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Should be familiar to many of you, and if not, that's all right. Let's read it together. Honor the Lord, your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And you're saying, big deal, I don't live on a farm, I don't understand this example. Well, they were an agricultural society. The principle is still the same, they're just applying it to agriculture. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And for them, it did involve money at times, but it also involved crops, it involved many things. And he says, with the what? The first fruits. In other words, as we look at this verse, there's a number of things, but one thing is when you receive your wealth, however you receive it, your money, your things, the first principle we see here is the idea of with the first fruits of all your crop, give it to me first, God. Let me put it another way. When you get paid, The first thing, if you're applying it to our society today, and we are, when you get paid, because God owns it all anyway, you've got to first of all believe that. Do you really believe that God owns all the wealth in the world? He does. He allows you and me to be paid and to have wealth. There's nothing wrong with that. He allows us to have it, but He owns it all. We're managing it for a period of time. What's going to happen is I'm going to manage wealth for about 70 years, or, you know, I didn't really start getting a paycheck maybe till I was 22 or something, so 50 or 60 years, and then I go. I do not take any of it with me. It all stays here. I can take none of it with me where I'm going, to heaven. I'm not. So one of the principles is when you receive it, the first part should go to the Lord. In other words, when you get out your checkbook, as I did this week, and I had just come back from the trip, and we had some bills there and some other things, and I did get paid here, praise God, and I went down and deposited it. And the principle, one of the principles here is the first check, I could have done the rent, I could have done utilities, I could have done food, I could have done my life insurance, I could have done all this. One of the things that I have practiced because of this verse is the first check that is written is to the Lord. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. Not the last check, not waiting the whole month, getting to the end of the month saying, well, there's a little bit left over, let's give it to the Lord. That's not what this verse says. This is not me speaking. This is God speaking. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Now, if you really believe it's God, then you're going to trust Him to do this. If you don't, you won't. And God understands that, but God also wants you to grow and put Him first in this area. Then your barns will be overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. In an agricultural society, that's pretty good. The whole barn is full. It's overflowing. Stuff's coming out the sides and the doors and the windows. And your vats will brim over with new wine, and that would be able, lots of that, so that they could sell it. Folks, when we talk about putting God first, let me tell you what. You make a decision to trust Christ. That is a huge decision. You get baptized, you begin to walk with Him. One of the keys is what you're doing with your wealth in honoring God. Put Him first in this area. Trust Him. Some of us, I've been here 6 years now, and some folks still struggle with this. God is big enough to save me. God is big enough to create the world. But it appears to me that God's not big enough to handle my money. Yes, He is. God can. He owns it all anyway. You've got to get that in your mind. God knows about this. And there are people that worship the checkbook. There are. And it's as bad of an idolatry as sitting before some wooden thing and saying, I worship you. And no. We worship our checkbooks. What are your priorities here? Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Old Testament verse, a great verse. All right, let's go to a New Testament verse. Let's put both the Old and the New Testament together. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so when I come, no collections will have to be made. There are a number of verses in the New Testament, but 1 Corinthians 16:2 is probably one of the best at explaining this. I need you to write some words down by that line. The first one is first day. The second one is each one. And the third one is his income. Write those down. First day, each one, his income. All right, what does the New Testament say? The New Testament says on the first day of every week. What do we get from that? The idea of consistency. Whenever you get paid might be a better way to do this. So I get paid around here on Thursday every other week. So when I get paid every other Thursday, I need to give. On the first day of every week, this was maybe some of you get paid every week. Well, most people don't. Most people get paid twice a week, or maybe twice a month, twice a week. What am I saying? Four times? No. You know what I mean. Rick, you do know what I mean. Thank you. All right. Consistently. Every week, when you get paid consistently, not 1 week in January and 1 week in November and that's it. No. The New Testament teaches consistency. First day of every week. Second point here is this. Each one. Does that mean just the pastor gives? No. He should give, and he does give. I can promise you that. Each one involves every one of you. This is not for some people and to be participants and others to view. No, it's each one. Every one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. All right. Everybody gets involved, and then his income. Old Testament, we have actually tithing taught in the Old Testament. If you want to be a tither, praise God, it's 28%. If you're going to hold to the Old Testament law, it is 28%. I'm happy to show you where that is in the Old Testament. It's a number of offerings. In the New Testament, you can't find tithing. You will not find a verse. Why doesn't this verse say in giving 10%? Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. It says in keeping with his income. Now, a good place to start and a good place to get to is 10%. That's a great number to go for and to use. But I recognize people need to take some steps of faith here. You've got to be giving. You've got to be doing this a day at a time, a step at a time. Saving in keeping with his income. So give. Everybody's involved. Everybody has a part. All right. We're coming around to budget time again. We're going to have to deal with some of these issues. Let me just say this. If everybody was faithfully giving in this church, we would not have an issue at budget time. And I'm talking about money this morning, and I know it's a tough thing, but I don't apologize in any way for doing this because it's biblical. All right. Now, I've had the privilege of having people share just a little bit about their giving practice in this church. I've had five different couples do it, and I'm going to ask another couple to do it this morning that God has blessed, and they have chosen to give faithfully, consistently. And God takes care of the blessing. Rick and Val Rourke, I'm going to ask them just to stand up right there if they want, or if you want to come up here, you can. You're more than welcome to do that. All right, here we go. Can you talk loud enough, or do you need this?
I can talk loud enough.
All right, very good. Rick and Val, just share a couple of thoughts with us about giving. I appreciate you doing this, and God bless you.
Just in case you're wondering, I'm Rick. This is Val. We get paid three times a week every other month on days that end with a Y. Just so you know all that. Anyway, this isn't going to be a long testimony since Dave just informed us this morning or asked us if we'd do that this morning, but felt more than happy to do that. I accepted the Lord back in 1974 when I was just a child. Actually, I was 22 years old, so I didn't grow up in the church. And it was, do the math. I didn't grow up in the church, so there was a lot of strange things about the church and things that we were supposed to do and this and that. And giving money was not at the top of my priority. It's not something that came easily for me at first, but you know, we had a pastor at that time, or I had a pastor at that time that kept, you know, one of his favorite sayings was, you know, I didn't say it, God said it, you know, and he'd point to the Bible and he'd talk about these things, and I guess I started to think about it more and more. Then I met my lovely wife to be, and we got married, and we still struggled with it. You know, there was a lot of things in our Christian walk, or especially mine. She grew up in the church, I didn't, that didn't come overnight. You know, it was a gradual process, and the same held true for our offering. And we didn't jump right in at 28%, but we gradually worked our way up to where we're at today. And I can honestly say that we've never done without. Doesn't mean every day has always been easy, or all the times in our life have been easy. And just because you give money to the church doesn't mean that God's going to, you know, give you, you gave $10, he's going to give you back $100. A lot of times he blesses in other ways, and somehow he's always taking care of us. We trust him with a lot of things, but like you said, when somebody starts messing with your wallet, people get a little scared sometimes. And once again, I didn't say it, Dave didn't say it, God said it. I would encourage you to give, and watch what happens. He'll take care of you.
Amen.
And he said it all. I would like to add that it is interesting because you think, like I said, I grew up in the church, my parents tithed, and I watched us struggle over the years, but my parents put four kids through college, and every time it was like, how's this going to happen? How's this going to work? How's this going to turn out? And God just met the need at the right time. And so I had seen that, and then I met Mr. Security Conscious Rick. And it was interesting because to him, that was so foreign. And as we shared and prayed about it and talked about it, it was just one of those things where God just dealt with both of us in our own way, and I couldn't tell him what to do. God had to speak to him too. And then we got to the point where it's just like, let's try it. Let's see what God does and let it go. And like Rick said, it wasn't always easy. There were times when we were without work and we struggled financially, and that was a big question. But God met the needs in ways that, as we can look back now, we can go, wow, I wouldn't, if someone had told me I'd be here now when I was there from then, it wouldn't even fit. So I know that God met the need, and that those ways have just been amazing.
Amen. Thank you much. Yeah, let's... Thank you very much. All right. Sorry about the confusion on how many times you get paid. I figured you could figure that one out, though. But all right, let's go on here. If finances are first, I or interest. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Interest. My goodness. Let's say this verse together. Are you with me? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now this verse says volumes just by itself. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, you are an example, you are a testimony in your workplace, in whatever you do. Put God first. That in terms of your interest. And God expects you to have interest and things that you enjoy doing and hobbies and all of these things. When you enter into those kind of activities, which is very good, make sure that God comes along, that God's part of it. You know, I play golf. Now, I haven't played golf for a while because I've got a hurt shoulder, but I play with a gentleman by the name of Al Trella. And if you've been here before we go to Russia, he's a gentleman that comes. He's a little older and takes pictures and does all that. And Al enjoys playing golf with me. And so we get together. But one thing, when you play golf with Al Trella, he's not a very good golfer either. He's really pretty bad, actually. But, you know, he gives it his best shot. But about the third or fourth hole, he'll come up to the guys that we're playing with. And usually we'll always play with, you know, two or three, a total of foursome, two other people. And Al will start sharing with them a little bit. And sometimes, you know, in doing this with Al, sometimes Al just gets too zealous and overexcited. But on the other side, I look at myself, how often do you do that, Dave? I mean, you don't have to get up there and preach a sermon. You can just share some things. And Al does that, and Al hands out tracts. Al has brought that interest and brought God into it, so he's part of it. The other friend, I have other friends besides these two, but is Richard Holmes. Richard Holmes owns a business, and it's interesting because Rich struggles and is open and honest with me about being a businessman. He is a believer, but also bringing that into the workplace. And how do you do that in a way that honors God? And I came back Friday evening, drove in, and I got my car serviced. So I was just standing there at the side of the counter, and a customer came up and said, something's different about this place. He said, something is different. I've been here a couple of times. The attitude and the spirit and what you guys do. And the guy behind the counter said, well, you know what? We try and live our lives to please God. He says, we're not perfect. But he says, we try and do that. He said, it is making a difference. People notice. I just stood there, and it was just a neat thing. Richard brought God into the workplace. Whatever he was doing, he has trained those guys. Richard was out in Lake Havasu. He wasn't even there. But the people who have been around him, whatever you do, whatever interest you have, bring God into it. Take it easy, step by step, but do that in your interest. Very good. Let's keep going. R, F, I, R, relationships. in your relationships here. This is where you've got to be very, very careful to pick those that you hang out with. That's one level of relationships. But be careful who you hang out with. There are so many verses in the, especially in Proverbs, about choosing friends wisely. Let's look at one. It's Proverbs 12:26. Read this with me. I want you to read all these verses with me today so that we can reemphasize that. Okay, Proverbs 12:26. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Cautious in friendship. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful with the people you do things with, because the reality is they will probably influence you more potentially than you will influence them. Be careful in your relationships. There are times that you need to get out of relationships because you know they're bad and they're bringing you down. Do that. Get out of some relationships. The Scripture warns us about it because it can lead you astray. The reason I put relationships up here is it's because it's the fabric of life. So much of our life is relationships. Be careful who you hang out with. Be careful who you spend time with. You will become like them. They can lead you astray. Be careful in your relationships. I think the other side of this is you don't worship anybody. No, you don't worship anybody. There's all kinds of gooey, mushy feelings associated with love, but you don't worship them. You don't put them before God. All right? Good. Schedule. S. Finances. Interest. Relationships. Schedule. Schedule? What does that have to do with anything? All right. Well, let's see what it's talking about here. Let's go to a New Testament verse in Mark, where Jesus gives us an amazing example of he had a busy schedule. But what did he value? Read this with me. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And you look at this verse, and we just get some ideas. Jesus spent time with the Father in the morning. He got up. You cannot lie in bed. You will never do this successfully unless you get up. He went to a place and he prayed. And he spent time with the Lord. In your schedule, make sure that you spend time with the Lord. That He is of primary importance. That you spend time with Him daily in some way. And I'm not saying every day if you miss reading the Bible that, oh my goodness. Oh, Ruth had a conversation with me. Ruth said, Dave, you've been doing this now for a while, and you spend time preparing messages and doing things like that, but Dave, who's putting anything into your life? Who do you spend time with that is encouraging you and building you up? And I do have some people that do that, but it's not a consistent thing. And so I took those words to heart. So I drove to Colorado, and I had lunch with a friend of mine named Fred. And Fred and I can pretty much talk about anything. He saw me grow up and all of that, and still loves me and appreciates me, even though he's seen all the shortcomings in my life. I said, Fred, this is what Ruth is saying to me. And he's smiling at me. I said, what are you smiling about? The fact that I'm buying lunch for you? And he said, no, let's go over to Best Buy. He said, I've got some of a solution for you, not a complete solution. So we go to Best Buy. And I said, Fred, there's these iPod things. I don't know very much about them. And he says, good, that's where I'm taking you. So he took me over to the iPod counter, for lack of a better way to say that. And he says, I want you to buy one of these. It's the best investment you will ever make in your life. I said, so I'm going to buy this little Hummer, a 30-gig iPod. He said, yes, you are buying a 30-gig iPod. Because what I'm going to do is there are messages that, Dave, you might have heard in the past, but you need to hear again in the present. Because you may not have heard some of these, and they are ways that other men that you even know, Dave, can teach and encourage and strengthen you. He said, buy it. So I bought it. And he took this, and they are open domain, or it's at a website, navigators.com. And he put 400 messages on this iPod. And he said, Dave, I can load them on there. They are open to the public. Anybody can download them and go to that site and listen to them. And he said, Dave, I care about you enough that I'm going to have you go ahead and let me load these on for you and do this. And Dave, you can listen at any time to these messages.
But before we go further, shall we pray? Father, these are your people, and this is your word. And I pray by your Spirit that you might minister to our hearts at our point of deepest need, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
That is a Texan.
The disciple is a learner. Anyone who follows or imitates the teaching of another.
He said, Dave, you need this in your life at this point. You need to be able to go and listen to a message at any time. And he said, you could do that. I could burn hundreds of CDs for you. But he said, because of the technology, you can do that. And so he did that for me, and he gave me that. Now, Fred sinned a little bit in doing this, because Fred is my buddy, and Fred knows that I like music. And Chris, what was the term? Press and confess? Is that what the term is? And so Fred also loaded on here. Now, I want you to know I did not ask him to load these on here, but I have some amazing music that he has put on here. And you know, it was really neat. So I was driving over 11,000 foot passes, and it would just stop snowing. It was blue. And, you know, I was just listening to this, some of the music on here that he put on here for me. And as you came in this morning, you were able to listen to some of the music. And it's just something that I appreciate. When I get to the end of the service, I'm going to go ahead and put one of these on, and you can hear it as you go. Make use of technology. You can download these messages at a number of different websites. You download them to your computer and you record them, put them on your iPod, and you can do that. I needed that in my life. I needed that at this point. And Fred knew that, and Fred gave me the ability to be able to do that. iPods are cool. I love them. And I knew a little bit about them, but I didn't know a lot. I bought this speaker here too, that there are times maybe in future services where I'll put a song on and we can just use it for the whole auditorium. Let's let technology help us walk closer with God. Amen? Schedule God. Finally, T, trouble. Trouble. When trouble comes. If it comes, no. When it comes, because it will come, and it will come in many different forms. Psalm 50:15. We get upset. We think of everything. We try and do everything except to turn to God. Read this verse with me, please. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. I don't know what your trouble's going to look like, but I think most of the time we get into trouble, the first thing we do is rely on ourselves, do our own thing, and try and get out of it. I want you to know that God has been teaching me some things through trouble. When we were redoing this auditorium, I ended up lifting one of these sections here and hurting this shoulder, actually pretty badly, but I didn't know how badly. I went to a doctor. I did the right thing. The doctor didn't actually diagnose it correctly. He's a really good doctor, but he missed it. So I did some basic rehab on this shoulder. Then I ended up going on vacation, and one of the things, and occasionally, before I went on vacation, I played a little bit of golf. I played once with Chris, and isolated, and you know, hit golf balls one time. It didn't bother me that much. When I went to Colorado, I started playing golf a lot, because I love doing that. And I tried to play after a day or two in a row, and I couldn't play, because it was bothering me. It had bothered me before, but it was bothering me more. I couldn't do that much. I came back from vacation, went back to the doctor, they did an MRI, and I have a 70% tear in my rotator cuff. 70%. Drew Brees, you saw his thing, I've got some of the same injury that he has. And the problem is we were working through workman's comp. So I go back to them and they said, I had to make a statement, and I did, and I told them the truth. They said, no, you injured your shoulder playing golf. And I said, no, I didn't. I played golf for 35 years. I'm a 47-year-old man. I have a titanium head and a graphite shaft. I don't swing it that hard to do that. I said, no, you did. So what has happened since August, September, October, November, and into December is I have been incredibly frustrated because I cannot get this thing fixed and I can't do anything. And one of the interesting lessons for me is, yes, I believe I have turned to God, but I need to turn to Him more often. I'm not sure what's going to happen with this. They're still trying to get out of not taking care of this. And I don't know what I'm going to have to do. I go to a private doctor here in a couple of weeks, and he makes a determination. Did it happen when I tore it, lifting the stage piece, or did it happen when I was playing golf? And he's going to have to do that, and we'll have to see what his conclusion is. But I'll tell you what, it has been one of the most frustrating things in my life, irritating. And I've had really bad attitudes about it. And some people, you know, our insurance company, I called them and I said, look, there's been delays. You have to understand there's been just enormous delays between each steps. And there's been excuses about those delays. And drove me, and I've shared some of this with some people that I'm closer to. And they know my heart. I was just irritated. Called our insurance company and said, is this all you're doing for us? We pay X amount for a premium, and it's a pretty good premium, and this is all the service we get. You know, I mean, I had had it. I needed 2 weeks at Christmas to rehab from all this stuff and do that. The important thing is, first of all, call on Him, but don't stop calling on Him. And maybe that's the lesson I needed to learn. Continue to call on Him and to trust Him and to see what happens. Amen? Put God first in your life, in your finances, interest, relationships, your schedule, and when you find trouble. If you're not, you're going to be frustrated, irritated, angry all the time. I think there's a point where you will be frustrated about certain things, but if it's a consistent problem all along, then you're not putting God first. You need to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the lessons you're teaching me, and I don't want to learn them sometimes, Lord. Thank you for the patience, the understanding that I need to have. And I pray that you'll just continue to guide and direct. Thank you for this week and next week as we talk about another point that reveals you. Help us, Lord, to be constantly aware of putting you first. Not our money, not other people, you're not in our schedule, you're not even there. We recognize that that's not what you want. Help us to put you first in many ways. In Jesus' name, amen.